Okay, it's the Lombardi Line on a Monday. We welcome you in, presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VEASAN studios here at the South Point. There's Michael Lombardi. You know, I was thinking, Michael, driving in, did you have a hell of a day? I didn't have my notes with me, but I feel like you had a hell of a day yesterday with your picks. Is that true? We are having, I'm not hearing Michael. We'll get Michael's audio up here in just a second as we welcome you in on a Monday edition of the Lombardi Line. Of course, we'll get to Monday Night Football coming up in just a little bit as Seattle travels to Philadelphia. Now, this one's interesting. This one opened 3. And now we're sitting 6.5 with Seattle laying it on the road. Of course, Philadelphia, all kinds of troubles with the injuries. We understand the regression of Carson Wentz, so we'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. Josh Applebaum, of course, will be joining us here on the Lombardi Line. We'll take a look at the numbers as we continue to try to wade through the mess that is COVID. As I don't know if y'all saw the information coming out of Santa Clara, but they've shut down for, what is it, 3 weeks, Aaron? 3 weeks, I believe it is, they've shut down anything, whether it be high school, college, professional, and Shanahan's bitter about it because right now you've got a 49er team that actually went on the road yesterday, won outright as a dog in Los Angeles, and now Shanahan's bitter because he's saying, well, you've left us homeless. We don't have a place to practice. We don't have a place to play. Obviously, they're going to be looking at Arizona. Obviously, they'll look for other options within California, potentially Dallas, but as we sit now, they don't have anything as far as a place to play. So we'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. As we finagle the information with Michael Lombardi, he's going to be joining us. Matt Patricia, I think most of you saw by now, is out in Detroit as a Detroit fan. That came as a wonderful Thanksgiving surprise. Let's run the board as far as the games yesterday, and we'll talk about maybe not just a disappointing performance. I'm sitting here in Las Vegas, but one of the bigger disappointing performances in all of the NFL this year by any team, and that would be the Raiders. And if you watch this game, the Raiders weren't just outplayed. They were outclassed in every single way. They went to the Falcons, ended up closing 3. Okay. There were a few books that had this sitting 3.5 when we got the injury report as far as Atlanta's concerned, but you see it there. I mean, just an absolute beatdown of 43. I mean, that was 43-6, and it could have been worse than that. That was a disgusting performance by the Raiders, who were sitting there looking to get into the postseason, and we're going to get Michael here in just a second. Don't worry. So the Raiders, maybe the most disappointing performance of the season for a team in that spot. We continue. The Cardinals, we were watching this line movement yesterday because this number started to dip. This number started to dip with the Cardinals, and the Patriots ended up kicking off maybe 2, 1.5. But we talked about this, and Michael talked about it. We're going to bring Michael in now. Kyler Murray, Michael, as we welcome you back. Kyler Murray, if you can shut him down, and I don't know what Belichick was doing specifically. What I heard was because he's so short, he was having defenders jump the passing lanes and literally just jump up, and it was causing all kinds of problems for Kyler Murray.
Yeah, you know, they batted a bunch of balls down in the game, but they really did a good job. Adam Butler played probably his best game of the season. He lined up over the nose tackle. He penetrated. He created problems. I just don't think Murray was 100%. He didn't really take off and run like we were used to seeing him run. He didn't throw the football with the same zip. I mean, he really didn't make any plays in the passing game. Hopkins was, you know, he had 5 catches for 50. He was not a factor in the game. They tried to run the football, and, you know, they had a 4th and goal from the 1-inch line, and they couldn't get it in. I don't think they scored. So it was a game where I think when we talked about that Murray wasn't 100%, I know he wasn't on the injury report. He played like he wasn't 100%.
I agree with you there. Now, back to my original question. I felt like you had a good day. Like I said, I didn't have my notes with me watching the games yesterday, but it felt like your numbers were pretty solid yesterday.
Yeah, it was a really good day. I just paid attention strictly to my numbers and tried to take my thought process the hell out of it, and it proved to be correct. I mean, the game that I think was fascinating was if you watch the Browns-Jaguars game, I know it was a 2-point game and Browns bettors lost, and if you lost as a Brown bettor, you hate Baker Mayfield today.
I mean, he was missing open receivers all over the place.
And Patrick, today you go look at his QBR rating. He had the fourth best week of anybody in the NFL. I challenge anybody who bet the Browns last week to think he had a hell of a day. I challenge you. Like, that's what makes the QBR so bad, because he did not play good at all. In fact, he cost the Browns bettors the game. So, you know, I didn't cover that game. I was fortunate, really, to cover the Kansas City Tampa game, because at the end of the day, I mean, Tampa Bay kind of got the backdoor cover, and then Kansas City didn't need to score anymore, and they held on and covered by that half point. So, yeah, it was a really good day. I think that we did a good job all around of handicapping these games and making some people some money, because if you saw it, there were so many games here that when you look at it, I got it here on my phone, Patrick. I wanted to share it with you. When you look at it, okay, so the public was on the Bengals 28%. Everybody, 78 on the Giants. The public was on the Falcons for 30%. The public was on the Bucks for 32. There was on the 49ers for 34, and they were on the Patriots for 34. If you bet with the house on all those games, you won.
The Browns, by the way, ended up closing 7 there, a 27-25 winner. This team doesn't feel like an 8-win team. It just doesn't. We'll get to that.
There was a bet. Did you see the call of the game on Olivier Vernon on roughing the passer in that game?
Oh, that was unbelievable.
It was unbelievably bad call. That covers the game. If they, of all the things that Mayfield didn't do in the game, that covers the game.
100%. That really was unbelievable. It was a phantom call. By the way, we'll get to the game that everybody's discussing today. Is that's down in Tampa. But the Packers did beat the Bears 41-25, covering easily the 7.5 that went over the 44.5. Dogs went 8-4 yesterday, 9-5 on the week. So dogs this season hitting over a 55% clip. You're making money if you're betting the dogs. Very profitable. The unders yesterday, 8-6, Michael. But the overs this season, 52% clip as far as hitting to the over. Now, let's talk about Tampa and what you're seeing here. A lot of conversation about the relationship with Arians and Brady. Does this offense fit Brady?
No, I mean, and I talked about it on my podcast today. I think that if you are the Glazer family, you're going to have to make a decision at the end of the year. Do you want to continue to go with Bruce Arians, who's probably coaching year to year, or do you want to continue to go with Tom Brady, who's got one more year at $25 million? Because after 12 games, what we have learned is this doesn't work. And now Bruce Arians is complaining about they couldn't convert third downs. Let's get some things correct here. This Tampa Bay Buccaneer team is 30th in the National Football League on first down efficiency. They're 30th in third of 10 or more. They're 31st in third or six or more. So this isn't an aberration that happened out on the field on Sunday. This is who they are. And because they insist on trying to throw the ball down the field away from what Brady's strengths are, which is manipulating the defense, creating, controlling the pace of the game, throwing short passes, keeping the Chiefs' offense off the field, that wasn't the case. So I think this is one of those. Look, I know this. As bettors, whatever the line is to the Bucs, we got to be really sure when you put your money down on the Bucs, because I'm not sure they're going to cover come playoff time.
Now, they did cover yesterday because the number closed 3.5 off the opener of 3, a 27-24 win for the Chiefs. We should spend a second projecting forward for the better on the Chiefs. This Patrick Mahomes, I mean, the conversation's over. You see the numbers right there. Who's going to win the MVP? He's minus 250. He is the MVP. You know, Tyreek Hill, you may want to double Tyreek Hill, but Tyreek Hill and also Kelsey, they're 1-2 respectively as far as receiving yards in football right now.
I mean, they execute with such effort. I mean, it's effortless how they execute. And if you're going to, I mean, how do you single? I love Todd Bowles as much as anybody, but you got to go to the stadium. You got to take Tyreek Hill away. I mean, he is the fastest player in the National Football League. He's got great hands. He's got eye hand control. He's incredible with the ball once he get it. Was a great running back at Oklahoma State.
Yep.
So for me, you got to take him away, and you got to take your chances with Sammy Watkins and those other receivers and hope they beat you. But Mahomes, even in the two-minute drill when he was keeping the ball away, his ability to buy time, throw the ball down the field, make plays, convert, run with it, slide in bounds, he was just sensational.
He did the same thing against the Raiders. Forget the deep throws. There was a throw to the corner where I can't remember who it was, but they recovered very well, and he threw it to the back shoulder. I mean, this guy, Mahomes makes it look effortless as well, Michael. He's incredible.
No doubt. And I mean, how do you think, I mean, they opened up as a 13.5 point favorite to Denver. Now, we assume Denver's going to have all their quarterbacks back next week. COVID test came back today negative. So we think they're going to have that in play. But I mean, how does Denver stay within 14? It has to be a backdoor cover, just like we saw yesterday by the Bucks.
Well, your girl Steph is counting her money right now because the Saints
sure
they do cover the 16.5. Some books closed at 17. The Saints 31-3 winners over the Broncos. Now Kendall Hinton, I mean, he was 1 of 9 for 13 yards, 2 picks. I mean, the poor kid, he was just thrown out there. The Broncos gained 112 yards on the game.
Well, look, I mean, and everybody's complaining about why this Taysom Hill in the game. I mean, Sean Payton did exactly what we talked about on the show. There was no way he was going to go into that game and he was going to do anything other than prevent Taysom Hill from making a mistake, right? He was going to just stay the course, do exactly what he was going to do, and then move forward and basically just make sure that he operated his offense, went to the single wing, operated his offense so that he could win the game and get out of there and not allow them to make a play based on a turnover.
Were you trolling the NFC East at M Lombardi NFL on Twitter a little bit earlier? Can we throw up the numbers as far as the NFC East? What point were you making there? Because we're going to get into the Eagles tonight hosting the Seahawks.
Well, I think this, Patrick, I think that when you look at this, I mean, that my point was the Giants, that win against the Giants was somewhat, I mean, you know, the Giants beat the Bengals. I mean, that was down to the wire, that game, right? I mean, that was strictly down to the wire. And my numbers said take the Bengals. I refused to do that. And I know somebody who did it in the Circa contest. But, you know, the Giants struggled to win that game without Daniel Jones. Washington, we saw what they've done. But the Giants hold the tiebreaker against Washington. My point was this division hasn't been good since 2018. We're making a big deal about it in 20, but it's been bad for 3 years.
The Giants do beat the Bengals. They don't cover the 6.5. They lose Daniel Jones. I don't know if you have intel on how far he's going to be gone. I'll just ask you quickly about those numbers. You still have the Eagles favorite in division at +150. I think you like the Giants. I'll see if you still do with the injury at +240, I believe it is. There it is. A Washington football team's +260, and the Cowboys are sitting 7-1.
I mean, look, I talked to Thomas Gable this morning, and he told me he's getting a ton of money on the money line for the Eagles today. 88% of the, and he sends me a text. He says, "You're right. Eagle fans, they don't want the points. No, keep
right.
your 6.5. We don't need it. We don't need your 6.5. We're going to beat them outright. And we'll see tonight. The weather, just so we know this, the weather here in the Northeast is Seattle-type weather. Very windy and a lot of rain coming down sideways.
And we've seen the total drop tonight, which we'll get to an official cap. Seahawks-Eagles, we've seen that total come down 52 off the opener, now down to 48.5. The money line, you can get +230-ish, +220 to 230 on the Eagles. Quickly on Jones, have you heard anything as far as Daniel Jones and the Giants?
No, I have not heard anything officially, but, you know, just looking at that injury, I don't think, you know, he couldn't pivot. There was a lot of, when you're dealing with hamstrings, it's really about strength of that, and there was no strength in that when he came off the field. The question mark is Colt McCoy can't stay healthy either. They went to Colt McCoy. How's Colt McCoy going to hold up? They've got to go out to Seattle with a tough game next week.
Michael, Derrick Henry's on his way to the Hall of Fame. He rolled over the Colts. This was, to me, your best breakdown yesterday. You mentioned DeForest Buckner, but it's almost like the Titans had a perfect game plan to approach the way the Colts were set up. They beat them 45-26 in Indy. We saw that number coming the Titans' way, both the public and sharp money all over the Titans yesterday. A 45-26 winner with Derrick Henry just going nuts.
Yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry outgained the passing yards for the Tennessee Titans yesterday. That's how good he was. They rushed for more yards than they passed. About that. I mean, they were really remarkable. Now, this is 2 weeks in a row. Now, I know Matt Eberflus is going to, I mean, God knows people are going to go on television and say, you know, he's the next great head coach. He's given up over 28 points in the first half in the last 2 weeks. 28 points in the first half the last 2 weeks. Against two really good offenses, against two good coordinators. See, we don't spend enough time measuring the teams against the good coaches. This is a coaching league all the way. As bettors, we have to know that. You've got to know that.
Speaking of which, I think Mahomes had almost 400 yards at the half.
That was he had a game stat at the half. Like, I was, when are they going to adjust? Like, at some point, when do you say, maybe we should double? Do you think Bruce would say to Todd, hey, Todd, you might want to think about doubling him?
Hey, the Colts, 7-4. What are you looking at moving forward for the better?
Well, they need Buckner back. I mean, he obviously is a big presence. They didn't have Autry inside, so they need that to come back inside. They got a tough game this week against the, you know, they've got to go, and they've got a tough game to go down to Houston. And Houston, look, it's not an easy out. Houston's not good on defense. They'll run the ball on Houston, but Houston will move the football effectively on them because Houston has some serious weapons on offense, and Watson is playing quietly as good as anybody in the National Football League. It's going to be a tough road for the Colts. They're going to have to play better on both sides of the ball if they're going to make it over that seven line.
Bell of the
dog. By the way, the Raiders are now 9. Mr. Musburger was on the show on Wednesday just giving me all sorts of stuff. I wonder what he's thinking today.
It's BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, Michael, you're going to love it at BetMGM. They have state-of-the-art technology, fan-friendly specials every day of the week. You got to be 21 years or older. Trust me, you're going to love this. You can go in-game. It's very smooth. You must be located in Nevada to open up an account here, of course. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Now, was Michael impressed? We'll find out. The Colts defense, the Raiders, who he just mentioned, and the Giants will come back. Impress me, Michael Lombardi style, plus Josh Applebaum to preview Monday Night Football right here on the Lombardi Line. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Okay, you know all about it, Manscaped. It's the best men's grooming product in the business. And now they've got the perfect package 3.0. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. And I'm talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. It also comes with a pair of Manscaped boxers that your junk's going to feel fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those over-the-use pair of boxers with the Manscaped high-performance anti-chafing boxers. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code VSIN20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and the code VSIN20. Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year. Okay, we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I discussed it a little bit at the top, Michael. As far as the performance in Atlanta by the Raiders, that was part of the impress me package. You said, hey, Raiders, impress me. Regardless of team, that may have been the worst performance or the most confounding performance all year.
No doubt it. I mean, I listened to John Gruden after this game, and he knew walking in there it was going to be a little bit of a trap. He knew that, you know, Atlanta was, despite their record, was playing well. Their defense, they changed how they were doing defense philosophically, so he understood that. But they came out, they were 3-for-9 on third down, fumbled the ball 4 times, throw an interception, can't get it in the end zone, have ultimate penalties. The offensive line really broke down. The offensive line had trouble handling the quickness and the movement of the Atlanta team. And I think what we talked about on the Lombardi Line yesterday was that Raheem Morris knows John Gruden. He knew what he wants to do. He knows how he sets up his game plan, and he attacked him. I didn't think Atlanta played that well on offense, actually. I thought Atlanta was still sluggish. I think Matt Ryan still holds on to the ball without Julio Jones. Remember, that line was moving to the Vegas because Julio was not playing. And we said on the air, look, it's not going to matter who plays at receiver for Atlanta. They're going to get open on these corners any way they want to against the Las Vegas Raiders. So the Raiders just have to let that game go, bounce back, and move on to the New York Football Jets so they can get back in their winning ways.
Yeah, you mentioned that number moved. It was sitting 3 during the Lombardi Line all day yesterday for the 2 hours. And just as we were signing off, it went to 3.5 with the Jones announcement that he was going to be out. But what a weird performance. Is Raheem Morris doing something to keep a job there or no?
I think it's going to be hard not to give Raheem Morris that job. I think he's done a really nice job. He's fixed the defense, which has been their Achilles heel. The way they played down there with Dan Quinn, unfortunately, they played way too much of Pete Carroll's scheme. Look, he came out and he's played. Now, they didn't play good against the Saints a week ago. He's got the Saints coming in this weekend. We'll see how he does. But I think he's done a good enough job, at least as an audition, to deserve to have that conversation. And I think he depends on who he wants to have as his offensive coordinator.
What am I taking as a better from the Packers beating the Bears? 41-25, closed 8, you know, 7.5, 8, somewhere in there. Obviously over the 44.5, but what'd you take away from that matchup last night?
I thought the Bears looked really soft on defense without Akeem Hicks. Remember, that line was moving to Chicago. You know, it opened at 9.5 and it closed what at 7, and it was moving to Chicago. And I even though my line said it should have been a 7-point line, it was too close. It closed at 8. You know, I felt like without Akeem Hicks, Chicago's not the same team. They have no interior toughness. I think the Chicago Bears have adapted the personality of their head coach, Matt Nagy. They're not a tough team. And, you know, I love all the superlatives about Mitchell Trubisky. What I really loved was when the NBC went into that whole conversation about, you know, Aaron Rodgers has passed the torch to Deshaun Watson, and it lasted 15 minutes. And then they passed the torch to Patrick Mahomes. And then they never mentioned that the general manager of the Chicago Bears picked Mitchell Trubisky over those two players who just had the torch passed to him. Yeah. Like, why wouldn't you have that conversation?
Seems like an important anecdote to the story that's playing out right in front of us, no? The fact that they not only did, they traded up for him. They didn't even interview. Ryan Pace didn't interview Deshaun Watson. He didn't even have a conversation with him.
Why would he?
Why
would he have the unanimous vote in his organization? I think anytime the Bears play against a good offense like the Rams, like with a quarterback with a coach, that defense will get exposed, especially in the back end, especially the way Mack, they haven't rushed. Robert Quinn and Mack have been disappointing in terms of what they're paying them and what they're getting in results.
Oh, I know the one that I wanted to mention to you. You loved it. The Panthers, who were getting bet, close a 3-point dog in Minnesota, straight up winner.
You know, they should have won that game. I mean, if Teddy Bridgewater,
1-point loss, you're right.
I mean, Teddy Bridgewater hits the receiver, DJ Moore, who I think probably tore his ACL in the end zone. I mean, they're going to win that game. They had more than an ample time to win the game. Teddy did not play very well, and yet they were right there. That was a hard one for me. I thought they were going to win outright.
Yep, 1-point loss, so ATS winner, but a loss. Minnesota staying alive at 5-6. Okay, we've got Monday Night Football, of course. We'll dive into that. Plus, Josh Applebaum's coming up next here on the Lombardi Line. To hire, you need Indeed. Indeed immediately delivers quality candidates for your job. They use the resume database when you upgrade the job post. It's great. Get started at Indeed.com/credits. We welcome you back. Michael Lombardi in Jersey. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the Beeson Studios here at the South Point. Here comes Josh Applebaum. Market Insights just dropped 34 minutes ago. You can download the podcast, Beeson.com/podcast. Josh, as we say hi, the dogs were barking, so that probably made you happy. How you doing, buddy?
Patrick, I'm doing great. Hello, Michael. Happy Monday here, guys. And yeah, I think we did a pretty good job yesterday on the Lombardi Line because, you know, obviously it was a big day for contrarian bettors, for sharp bettors. Overall, we saw dogs really have a great day yesterday because overall they went, as you mentioned, Patrick, 8-4 ATS. You had 4 outright wins. You also had unders. Quietly, unders had a really good day, 8-4. And I think that's something that we should keep an eye out for as we move, you know, later into the season. A lot of unders, divisional unders that fall. You've seen a lot of hits there. But really, we're talking about dogs. 98 and 77 ATS. OPS so far this year. Good day yesterday, 56% overall in the season. Well, we mentioned on the Lombardi line, Patrick Michael, remember we talked about dogs with a line move, because it's not just that dogs are doing well and the public likes to bet favorites. It's that you really want to see an element of some respected money moving a number toward a dog that makes you like a dog even more. So dogs with a line move in their favor, 4-2 ATS yesterday. They're now 49-28 ATS on the year. That's a 64% cover rate. And a couple that matched were the Patriots. Remember we saw them fall 2.5 down to 1. Tennessee Titans, Michael nailed that one. That was 4.5 down to 3. Carolina was another big one, 4.5 down to 3. So I think the takeaway is that dogs are doing great this year, but add that element of respected movement in their favor, they become even better. And Michael, can I just say, even though it was a great day yesterday, what is Anthony Lynn doing? You call a timeout. Chargers could have scored a touchdown late there. That would have been another dog. Dogs would have been, what, 9-3 if he had covered that spot.
Look, I think we as bettors know that there's certain guys that if we're going to trust to help us make money, we're probably making a mistake. I think that Anthony Lynn has cost me this year. I've learned the hard way, you know, and even though my numbers told me to stay away from the game, I'm glad they did. My instincts would have been they could have covered that line, but I'm glad I stayed away.
Let me follow up with you, Michael. I talked about this at the top, the 49ers. So next Monday, they're set to host the Bills. They go to L.A. That's another call by you yesterday. They go to LA, pick up a win, but Shanahan's bitter and he has a right to be. They don't know where they're going to practice. They don't know where they're going to play. They're shut down in Santa Clara for 3 weeks.
And they've been in communication with the Santa Clara officials. They basically learned about it on the plane. I mean, those poor players, I mean, they said goodbye to their families with the idea they were going to see them again, and now they can't go back. It's like they've been taken away because of the Santa Clara officials. And you wonder why the Raiders had a hard time building a stadium in Oakland. So, you know, I think it's really disappointing. But look, Kyle Shanahan's done a good job. Jared Goff had that look yesterday, that look I talk about. That as bettors, the in-game betting, just take a good look at Jared Goff's face. You can make a lot of money. This is not FBI profiling. This is Jared Goff. Let's make money together, right? And he had that look. Even our man Bill, happy birthday,
happy
Bill.
Birthday,
Bill's
Bill.
Like, Bill was all over it. Bill's like, Goff's got that look. Goff's got that look, right? The problem was Nick Mullen had the same look, right? Nick Mullen had the same look, and you were scared to go in-game betting. There was one part in there where if you took the Rams, you were laying five. I mean, if you took the 49ers, you had to lay the 5.5 in in-game betting when I think they were up 14-3. But again, I think as we move forward, this game is another perfect example of you got to bet Jared Goff in-game betting because it can go either way sometimes.
You get the Goff face. Michael and Josh, let's hold off on Monday night. We'll get your official caps coming up in just a little bit, but there's a couple of week 13 moves you wanted to check in with Michael here, Josh. And the first one, New England at the Chargers.
Yeah, I want to get Michael's take on this one because, you know, on the surface, it looks like, you know, New England off a win, Chargers off a bad loss, Chargers struggling. Seems like this would be a good buy low opportunity on the Chargers. But as we've seen here, even when they get sharp money, it seems like Anthony Lynn, there's clock mismanagement, there's bad play calling. And Michael, we've seen a big adjustment here toward the Patriots. So this line opened originally, it was Chargers -2.5. Immediately, as soon as this line came out, we saw a ton of respected money just pound the Patriots, +2.5, +2, +1.5. This line is now down to a pick 'em. Patriots would match a couple systems here, that road COVID move, line moving toward that road team. So, Michael, it seems like the Patriots are a no-brainer here. Is there anything we're missing, or is this Patriots a good spot for them going west, you know, trying to keep their playoff hopes alive?
Look, I thought Arizona was a hard matchup, but I was worried about when you look at Kyler Murray's injury, and I think that proved to be right. This is also another matchup that I think is not favorable towards the Patriots, but because of the way the Chargers play defense and their inability to really control the game with their defense. Now, Melvin Ingram didn't play. Bosa was really good yesterday. However, I think this is a game that the Patriots run the football effectively. Arizona came out in that game and lined up in a 4-4 defense. They basically lined up in goal line and said, we dare you to run the ball. And the Patriots still found a way to get 20 points. Remarkable for throwing for 69 yards. The Patriots will control the football in this game. They'll run the ball. They'll execute. Remember this, Josh McDaniels against the Seattle defense, and that's what they run in L.A., is very effective. We talked about Brian Daboll against the Chargers, Seattle defense. Daboll did another good job yesterday. Those are really important even now more than ever as we enter December.
A very good week 13 matchup, Cleveland at Tennessee, Josh. Where's the number?
Yeah, this one's surprising to me because you have two good teams here, both 8-3, both teams coming off wins. Remember, Titans had that huge hit yesterday as that road division dog, sharp line move. I was able to crush Indy there yesterday and cash for sharps. But Cleveland also 8-3. They didn't cover yesterday, but two good teams. And I'll be honest, guys, this line open, Tennessee around -4. I thought for sure maybe you'd get some Browns money. Maybe it would become a closer game. Two good teams grab the points. But we're seeing the exact opposite happen. Tennessee has been getting pounded. Tennessee open -4. They're now up to -5.5. To me, the question is, do you see this get to 6? I think if it gets 6, you have a lot of buyback here coming just on a key number. But Michael, why do you think this line is moving to Tennessee? Do you agree with that move? Is there a matchup that favors Tennessee in this spot?
Yeah, I mean, it's Baker Mayfield. I mean, anybody, even Brown fans, know Baker Mayfield played horrible. I don't care that he was QBR 4th. And I mean, he misses a 4th-and-1, a guy's wide open. Misses a guy in the end zone. He made so many bad mistakes with the football accurately. And there's going to be a time for us as bettors that Baker Mayfield's going to have to throw the ball to win the game. He's going to have to throw the ball to win the game. He can't do that. He can't operate that way. I could easily see this. And the way Tennessee is going to make him become the quarterback to throw the ball, I think that's problematic. I think Tennessee's going to continue to get bet.
Okay, Josh, just quickly, got 45 seconds. Set us up on that Rams cards number.
Yeah, keep an eye out for this one. This is trending toward a key number. This is a divisional game. You saw the Rams open up around a really short -1.5 road favorite. Lines up to 2.5. You're getting money here on the Rams. If it gets to 3, you probably see buyback Arizona here. But early on, a lot of Rams money coming in that divisional matchup.
We are currently sitting 6.5 with Seattle laying it in Philly on Monday night. Coming up, we're going to get a cap.
They don't need the points. They don't need the points, Patrick.
Just take
the Eagle fans don't need the points.
Take the money line. Take the money line. All right, we'll come back with an official cap. Michael Lombardi, Josh Applebaum here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. MGM customers, here's a chance to win $100. Okay, place a $1 wager tonight. Seahawks, Eagles, either scores a touchdown, boom. Use the bonus code VSIN100. You're going to get $100 in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years or older, Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, Tennessee, West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700, Colorado, Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia and Tennessee. Call or text Redline 800-889-9789, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. We got it. We'll get you an official cap. We'll find a winner on tonight's Monday Night Football game with the Eagles hosting the Seahawks. And then Michael can get out of here. He's got to go do some cyber shopping on a Monday. I think, what are you in the market for? TV, a PlayStation 5? What are you going to buy?
No, I'm not buying anything. I'm not in the market for anything. I got grandkids to buy for. I'm sure Millie's already bought them everything. I got stuff to do. I got to keep working, you know, so I got to pay for it.
Yeah, I don't know. I like asking you random stuff. Okay, so Michael, the Seattle, they haven't lost in Philly since 1989. I think that's good. The Seahawks are 6-0 straight up and ATS their last 6 on the road against the Eagles, including last year, obviously picked up the win. Now, this number open, I think the look ahead, Josh, was 3 on it. It's bet all the way up to 6.5. Is that correct, Josh? And we'll kick it over to Michael for a cap here.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Patrick. Big line move here to Seattle. I don't know if Michael wants to go first, then we can break it down.
Okay, Michael, 6.5.
You know, look, I have this should be around a 4.5-point game. I'm not touching the Eagles. I know my man over there in his armor suit can't wait to go to the window. But look, Carson Wentz, all this conversation here in Philadelphia is that, you know, Jalen Hurts has gotten more reps. Like, does anybody remember that Jalen Hurts got benched at halftime of the Georgetown game because he couldn't throw the football effectively and that Alabama needed someone to throw the ball, so they went to Tua? Now, I know he's been blessed with Lincoln Riley's a great passing game, but still, this is going to be a game where it's going to be wet. It's going to be sloppy. You want somebody to protect the ball, somebody who understands how to protect the ball. That's not Carson Wentz either, by the way, because he hasn't protected the football. The Eagles are a turnover maven. Their offensive line, once again, is beat up. They're talking about moving Jason Peters back into guard. I mean, it is truly a mess offensively in Philadelphia, and it's not getting any better. Their third down has been as bad as any team in the National Football League. And defensively, these linebackers have struggled in run, play action, and the things that Seattle do really well. Do I think it'll be a close game? Sure. My numbers say take Philadelphia. You ain't getting me to the window, though, Patrick.
The Eagles, of course, lost in Cleveland. The weather was bad, and we're going to have some weather tonight as well. Lost in Cleveland last week. So they dropped the 3-6-1 straight up, 3-7 ATS, Josh, on the season. They're still favorites at plus 150 in division, which is wild.
Yeah, they are, which is crazy. And I, to me, this isn't what I would call a sharp play to Philadelphia tonight. I would call this a value play. This reminds me a lot of a couple games we saw yesterday, Atlanta, Cincinnati, and Jacksonville. Situations where you were really contrarian, where the public was pounding the opponent, where the line went further to the opponent, and now you're just in a bet against the public spot with an inflated line getting a better number on a home dog. So kind of the way I see this is, you know, this is obviously a huge public play to Seattle. Seattle's 7-3 straight up, 6-4 ATS. They just beat Arizona, 28-21, covered the three there. You look at Philly, we all know Philly. I bet on them a few times this year. They've let me down many times. They're 3-6-1, 3-7 ATS, lost two straight, lost to Cleveland 22-17. Last week, didn't cover the 2.5. But again, Patrick, you're right. The look-ahead line for this Philly game was around -3. It got all the way up to 6.5 now. You're seeing big, big betting here coming in on Seattle. But what's interesting to me is that the 6.5 is now starting to trend down a little bit to 6. A lot of these +6.5s with Philly are around -115. Tells me that if you want to bet Philly, you should grab the hook sooner rather than later. It looks like it may go down to 6. This would also be a bad ATS team versus a good ATS team. You know, you look at Philly, they have not covered, 3-7 this year. You look at the Seahawks, they're 6-4. So I like buying low on teams that don't cover that the public's mad at versus a team that does cover that the public loves, which would be Seattle here. So this to me, again, a value play. You look at primetime dogs, 22-13 ATS, 63% on the year. And Michael, how about that? What's your take on the total? Because I'm in New England. It's a dreary day. It's a rainy day. It's gross. I was texting Thomas Gable. He said it's bad in your neck of the woods here, Michael. We have seen the total fall 52 down to 48.5. So a big, big money coming here on the under, even though the public's on the over. Do you lean anywhere on this total? Do you agree with that move? What's your take on that total tonight?
Well, based on the way the Eagles have operated offensively, I don't know how you could ever think they're going to be in an over game. Plus with the weather, you know, the ball security, protecting the football, turnovers, you know, Philly has just been, you know, we keep thinking Philly's like that old car. We keep thinking it's going to turn over and start, and it never does. Like, I don't know how many more times we're going to do it. I mean, Thomas Gable is just way willing to take all the money you want to give him on that money line. He can't wait. You know, and I think this, I think that they've yet to proven that they're good in any aspect of their football team this year, including defensively. So, you know, Russell Wilson in December, because we're going to be in December, it's November 30th today. To me, this is a must win for Seattle. I thought last week was a must win for Philadelphia in bad weather. They turned it over there quite a bit. Past performance predicts future achievement.
Maybe the Eagles for the Cyber Monday can get a new whip. They can get a new car. Hey, how about this? The under, you mentioned the weather's not very good there. The under in the last 12 at home for Philadelphia, 10-2 to the under, Josh.
That's a good trend there, Patrick. And again, to me, yeah, I love you. You did your homework here. It's great. I wanted to throw this to Michael because with Russell Wilson, you love betting Russell Wilson. He covers a lot of numbers, but I did some digging on Russell Wilson. This is kind of intriguing here. Look at Wilson in his career. He covers a lot of numbers, you know, 74-57 against the spread. He's covering at a 57% clip. That's like Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady territory there. But there's a big discrepancy, Wilson dog versus favorite. You look at Wilson as a dog, he's awesome. 23-10 getting points, 70% covering the number. As a favorite, he's around even. He's 51-47 ATS, around 52%. But here's where it gets interesting. Wilson covering bigger numbers. When Wilson is a favorite of -6 or more, he's 23-25 against the spread, about 48% overall. So we love Wilson getting points. He's a coin flip as a favorite. He's a little under 50% as a favorite laying a big number. So just thought Michael might find that interesting because, again, heavy betting Seattle here, Lions moving to Philly. Can we get a Philly lose by, you know, 6 points and cover with the hook. That's what I'm looking at.
Here's what's surprising, Michael, about Seattle. Remember, it's the inverse of last year. They won all their games on the road last year for the most part. They're 0-3 straight up in ATS, their last three on the road this year. I don't know what that is. Now, they did get a little bit of a buffer here. They had a couple of days. They played Thursday. But I want to ask you specifically about Wentz. If I'm a backer of Wentz in Philadelphia tonight, so whether it's injury related or mental, we understand there is a regression here. Is throwing Hurts in there, is that going to help him if there is something mentally, or if they want to build back his confidence?
I have no idea. I mean, they have no skill players, Patrick. I mean, they can't throw the ball. They carried Alshon Jeffrey all season. He doesn't make any plays from their best players, Miles Sanders. And as soon as he gets three runs over 10 yards in the game, they put him in witness protection. They don't want to use him anymore. I mean, it's the most confounding thing you've ever seen. And this is a game where I'm sure Doug Peterson is looking at Seattle and say they give up about 3.5 yards a game rushing. Why should we throw it? You know, and Philly can't make any plays in their passing game. I mean, Philly averages 15 yards per point. I mean, that's not explosive. And Jeff Lurie, the owner of the team, has made it a mandate that he wants this team to be offensively. He wants to look like Kansas City, the way they controlled the end of that game with their offense. And so far, this hasn't happened since the Super Bowl in Philadelphia.
Hey, Josh, if you had any gravitas here, you'd forget the points and you'd just go like Michael said, everybody in Philly's
bet the money line.
Everybody in Philly's bet the money line. You can get right now here, you can get +240. What do you think about that, Apple Bottom Jeans?
Oh man, it's intriguing. And Patrick, I used to be a camp counselor, no joke, and Apple Bottom Jeans was a nickname they gave me back when I was about 14 years old.
You're welcome.
Give me memories there, but hey, that is a bold move. You gotta love Eagles fans. Even when you're down and out, you got some pride here, you got some optimism. But this reminds me a little bit. Remember when the Patriots played the Jets? We were joking about the Jets were +10, take the money line. I loved it so much. To me, I'll grab the points, I'll grab the 6.5. I think this could be an opportunity where maybe it's a tight game, maybe you get a back to cover. I just think the Eagles, this is an undervalued spot. Again, it reminds me of those games yesterday a lot, similar to, you know, that Jacksonville, Cincinnati, Atlanta type spot overall. But Michael's numbers are 4.5. You're contrarian in a heavily bet game. I don't have the optimism to go on the money line, but 6.5 primetime dog inflated line, I see some value.
Okay, I just want a snap reaction from you, Michael Lombardi, on a few props tonight. Okay, I'm going to throw you a couple of numbers here, and I want you just to react based on how you think the game's going to be played. Russell Wilson passing yards, the prop right now, BetMGM, 287.5. Is he going to go over or under?
I think you go under in that. I think it's about controlling the football. I think one thing what Seattle wants to do is they can run the ball on Philly. Most teams haven't done that. I mean, most teams have been able to run the football effectively. So I do think he'll run the ball. I think he'll be under that number.
Okay, how about Carson Wentz? They've got the number at BetMGM set at 249.5 for passing yards.
I mean, I hate going in Ken Norton's direction with his defense, how bad they play. But for me, I'm not sure Carson Wentz of this Eagle offense can get 250 yards against the air, let alone against Seattle. I would go under there.
Okay, let's look at the rush yards because the weather may point towards a game that could be on the ground at points here. Miles Sanders, 64.5 for the Eagle rusher.
I'd go under there. I think the one thing Seattle can do is play good run defense. I do think that they're averaging teams average 3.6 yards a carry against them. I think they have problems with the pass, and so does Philadelphia have problems throwing the ball. So it's bad pass defense against bad pass offense.
How about Chris Carson? 50.5 is the number.
If he's healthy, I'd go over.
Okay. And maybe, you know, we'll have to find out. Michael, do you think last week was an aberration against Arizona with this defense, or is the Seahawk defense going to pop a little bit here the rest of the year?
I mean, I think they should play better. I think Dunlap has really helped them tremendously, and I think that gives them another pass rusher. And I think Pete Carroll knows he's got to get better defensively. They have trouble with the pass. There's no denying that. This is a bad offensive line in Philadelphia, though.
Okay, officially, before we get out of here, your number says take the Eagles, Michael?
Unfortunately, yes, Patrick, but I'm not doing it, so don't hold me to it.
All right, Josh, how about you?
I'm going 6.5 Eagles. You know, Patrick, Michael, gross play, contrarian, heavily bet game. You know how bad in this one.
All right, Applebottom.
How'd that Denver pick go yesterday, Josh?
Don't remind me.
See, Michael's gloating now. Michael had a big day with his number yesterday. He's gloating now. Have a good Monday, boys. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Patrick,
okay,
thank you, Michael.
The Edge with JVT is coming up next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.